We're going to talk about how to fight this morning. We're doing a series this summer entitled Family Worth Fighting For. And I think it's hugely important to point out that we do need to fight. But we need to know what God's Word says about fighting. I'm not talking about the fighting that takes place sometimes in your house when you're in disagreement with somebody in your family. I'm talking about a spiritual fight that God is very clear to us about. We need to quit fighting for the family just in the physical. We can agree in here that God's Word gives us the design for the family. And we've already covered the fact that husbands have a specific role, wives have a specific role, grandparents have a specific role, children all have a specific role, no matter what your age is. We've also going to learn next week, we're going to talk about those who are single in whatever capacity that's in. They're all a part of God's design. He hadn't forgotten anybody. And so we want to make sure that we follow God's design. But we also want to learn to fight for that design together as the body of Christ, but not just in the physical, but even more importantly in the spiritual. So if you haven't already turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10 in just a moment. But to remind you of the context of the verses that we've already covered together in our series, in this section of Scripture, we looked at lots of Scriptures, all from Genesis to Revelation. We'll continue to do that as we work through the summer. But in this specific section of Scripture, to give you the context, we started back in verse 18, where we talked about Paul's reminder to the believers in the church in Ephesus, they should be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't need to be filled with other junk that gets in the way or causes us distraction. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be subject to one another in Christ. We also saw that wives are to submit to their husbands in God's design. Husbands are to love their wives in the same way that Christ loved the church. We also saw, starting in chapter 6, verse 1, the role of children. That they are to obey their parents. And if you're not living in your house, verse 2, if you're not living in your parents' house, verse 2 tells you that you still have an biblical obligation to honor your father and your mother, whether you live with them or not, or whether they're alive or not. And we talked about that extensively. We also looked at the role of children. Children have a biblical response. I just said that. We also talked about the role of fathers and mothers in raising children. We hit briefly on verses 5 through 9 that talk about the role of slaves and masters, more specifically to us. If you're in a role of authority over someone, what your responsibility is, if you have put yourself under somebody's authority, say in a job situation, then you have a biblical responsibility as well as a believer. And so the design of family all fits into that. And here, towards the end of Paul's letter to the church or the believers in Ephesus, he gives them a final understanding of how to kind of put a bow on all of this, how to wrap it all up before he puts his signature on the letter with some final words. And so join me in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. God's word says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." So go back with me to verse 10. Let's dig in a little bit deeper here. I want us to understand that we have to fight for the family. We have to fight for the things of God in the spiritual realm, not just in the physical. Why? The reason is because the devil wants to destroy or counterfeit anything that is of God. We've already talked about the fact that in our society today, the family is being destroyed. The world has come up with their own definition of family. It can be whoever, whenever, wherever. If you don't like it, you can get out and do something else. That is not God's design. God's design is very specific. One man, one woman, unite together in marriage. And in the context of marriage, that's where the children should be born. And in that context, that's how the grandparents are to have their influence, their legacy, as we talked about in depth last week. That's how the design of God is to work. And the gospel is to flow from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. We're to share with one generation to the next the things of God and disciple or help each other understand and grow and learn from one another. That's God's plan. Unfortunately, we've allowed our society to say, let's do whatever we want with whatever we want. How do we know God, how do we know the devil is trying to counterfeit or destroy things? Look at the family today. If 50% of the marriages are failing or ending in divorce, we've got a problem. The challenge with that is specifically in the church, in some cases it's higher percentage. That means we're not following God's design the way he laid it out. Look at things with gender identity or sexual identity. God's the one who created sex between a husband and a wife in the context of marriage. Our society says do it with whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want. That's not God's design. Satan is trying to counterfeit what God's design is, what his perfect plan is for us. Gender identity issues, same thing. The Bible says God created us, he created man in his image. In the image of God, he created us. And now we've got all kinds of gender identity issues because Satan has put his hand in the middle of all of that and is trying to cause confusion, especially with our children. It's a knot that is contrary to God's design. Satan is good at what he does, and the family is an easy target. Look at what he tells us in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. There's the good news. You don't have to be strong in your own strength to fight the devil. Because you can't. And some people say, well, I thought Jesus already defeated the devil on the cross. He's done and he's finished. Well, he defeated him as far as death is concerned. But Revelation describes that one day there's going to be another battle called the Battle of Armageddon, where Satan is finally defeated once and for all, where he's thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he'll forever burn in the coals of fire that Revelation describes. But you and I still have to fight daily battles. Yes, Christ won the victory over sin and over death, and those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can conquer death, but that doesn't mean that Satan still doesn't have dominion on this earth today, because he does, and the Bible's very clear about that. So you and I don't have to deal with him in our own strength. Paul says to the believers, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not your own might. Over a couple of pages in Philippians 4, verse 13, some of you know this verse, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You do not have to do anything in this life in your own power or your own ability. If God tells us something in his word to do, like follow the design of the family, he will give you the strength to do that, but you've got to live in that design. You've got to follow his strength. You've got to follow his plan and let him help you with whatever you're facing. Think about the temptations that you face today. Does Satan come after you in the areas where you're strong? No. He comes after you in the areas where you're weak, because he's smart enough to know he's not going to waste his time on areas of your life where you are strong. He's going to come after you in the areas where you've seen you've already given in. That's why he's good, and he'll pound at you over and over and over again. But God says you can do all things, you can overcome every temptation that comes after you in not your strength, but in God's strength. Notice what else he says in verse 11. He tells us, and it's actually a command, Paul is commanding the believers here to put on the full armor of God. Notice it's not partial armor. It's the full armor of God. No soldier would go into battle with only part of his armor. No soldier, and some of you have served in the military. Some after the first service came and talked about to me about their military service. If you're going to fight the enemy, you're not going to leave your weapon back in the barracks because you're tired of carrying it. You're going to carry your weapon with you that you've been trained to use so that when you face the enemy, you are ready to respond to the enemy before the enemy catches you. You need to put on the full armor of God. The good news again here is it's God's armor. It's not yours. He provides it for every single believer. He gives you what you need, and we'll see that in just a moment. Put on the full armor of God, and he tells you why, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He reminds us here that the devil is alive. Now, I've had people tell me that the devil's not real, but the Bible says he is. And the Bible says here in this verse and in other places that he is a schemer. That literally means he's doing everything he can to try to trick you and deceive you, and he's good at it. He's really good at it because that's what he does. That's who he is. But what we are told to do is to stand firm. Stand firm literally means this is where I am and I'm not moving. I'm going to stand firm on the truth of God's word and you're not going to move me, devil. I don't care if I've got 1,000 other people giving me their opinions, even people that I respect. If the word of God says this, I'm going to stand on the truth of your word. Notice he doesn't say advance on the devil. Notice he doesn't say run from the devil. He says here to stand firm once you've got the full armor on. Jesus talked about the father of lies as the devil. Over in John chapter 8, Jesus talks about him in great detail. And this is in the context, you remember the story, when Jesus had a woman brought to him who had been caught in adultery, and the people were ready to stone her to death, which was the law. And Jesus, writing something on the ground, says that he who is without sin cast the first stone. And the Gospels record that the older people dropped their stones first. Eventually, everybody dropped their stones. Nobody threw them. And that woman came to Jesus, and he told her to go and sin no more, that her sins had been forgiven. In the context of that, Jesus engages the Pharisees and the others who were there. And as he's talking to the Pharisees, who are trying to tell him that he's wrong in what he's teaching, imagine that, they're telling the Son of God that they don't recognize as the Son of God, that he's wrong in what he's teaching. He tells them, listen, in John 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil never tells you the truth. He always twists it. He always tries to counterfeit it. He is the father of lies. Jesus said that he's real. He's not some figment of our imagination. He's real. He's the father of lies. That's who he is. So when he speaks, he only speaks lies. The demons are those that serve him. They don't speak truth. They only do his bidding, and if he's the father of lies, they're not out there spreading truth, and then maybe one day on Thursday they decide they're going to tell a lie. No, they do his bidding, they only tell lies. And so we've got to combat that spiritually. Our role again is to stand firm. Verse 12, he says, for our struggle, your struggle. What is your struggle? It could be a million different things. For some of you, it's a temptation that seems to haunt you. You can't seem to get rid of, and you can't seem to say no to. That's your struggle. Some of you, your struggle in the context of our series this summer is battling in your family for God's design for the family. Others of you, it's something going on at work or something that's going on in your extended family. Whatever your struggle is, the word struggle here literally means an intense struggle with an intense opposition. The challenge is, sometimes in our struggle as believers, we don't put enough effort against the opposition's intensity. And when we don't put enough effort against the enemy's intensity towards us, then we're giving in. If the enemy's coming at you full force, then you need to react with full force. If you're going to struggle, if you're just going to give in and retreat, that's a completely different thing. But God tells us here that he's giving us the full armor of God so that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We can stand on his word. But notice that there's a struggle going on. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your struggle is not against the other person in your house that thinks differently than you do or has a different opinion. Your struggle is not with your wayward child. Your struggle is not against somebody who is feeding lies into your family or into your design, God's design for the family, and somebody in your family is following that. That's not your struggle. Your struggle is not with your child who is dealing with some kind of identity issue or with somebody's opinion that belongs to the world but doesn't belong to God. Your struggle, our struggle, is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness, and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul describes four different things that you and I don't understand that take place in the heavenly realms. In other words, there's battles going on between the angels and the demons that you and I are not a part of. Because that's, he says, he doesn't say it's taking place here. He says it's taking place in the heavenly places. There are supernatural forces that you and I don't understand that have some control over humans and their behavior. Sometimes it's because we yield to them. We don't oppose them. Sometimes it's because of something that God is doing with his angels. Do I understand all that? No. But I believe the word of God, and I'm going to take him at his word. And if he says it's true, then I hold on to it. So our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, against the stuff that's going on here. It's stuff that's going on above us in the spiritual realms that you and I don't understand. That's why we can't always fight physically. We've got to fight spiritually. But God gives us the tools that we need. Look at what he says in verse 13. Therefore, because you need to stand firm, take up the full armor. Notice again, he says the full armor. You're not leaving part of it behind. If you are, then you're not fighting against the opposition the way that you should. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Some of us haven't done everything because we're not willing to put on the full armor. We think that because we made a decision for Christ, he should take care of us. And he does. He gives us the full armor, but then we don't put it on. We don't do anything with it. It's in our closet, in some container back in the dark recesses with other stuff we haven't seen in years that doesn't fit anymore. We've put it back there instead of it being on the front shelf, and we put it on every single day before we leave the house. Getting out of bed ought to be the routine to put on the full armor of God. Look at what he says. Stand firm, verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. He talks about the first part of the armor is the belt of truth. Back in the day of the Roman soldier, let me say this, Paul most likely, historians tell us, at this point when he's writing the letter to the church in Ephesus, he's in chains. He literally is chained to a Roman guard, history tells us. So this isn't something he's conjuring up in his head. He probably has a Roman guard that he's chained to. I mean, literally chained right next to. And so he sees him in his full armor, or he sees his armor there, and he's interacting with Roman guards that are coming in and out, and they're wearing the full armor. They're protecting themselves. So it's not something that he's making up or trying to recall. It's something that he's seeing because he's literally chained to a Roman guard. So they would put on the belt of truth. That would have been the first thing you put on. Remember back in Jesus' day and in the Old and the New Testament, many people wore a cloak or a robe kind of outer covering. So they would have taken up the robe, they would have wrapped it however they wanted to, and they would have put a belt around to cinch it all together so that they can move more easily than trying to run around in a robe. If you don't put your belt on, then you've got a problem with your whole uniform being put on because it's your normal clothes that are underneath, and you're wanting to make sure that all of that is put together so that you can move. But notice what he says, that belt of truth. Truth is what is real and what is actually happening. And the Bible describes that as the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, then you don't know what's true. You can listen to every newscast. You can read every article on every internet site that you want to believe or not believe. All of those things are opinions. The Word of God is what is true. And if you're not studying the Word of God and you're basing your opinions on everybody else who's speaking into your life, then you may be led astray and you may not be girding yourself up with the truth. You're girding yourself up with somebody else's opinion. If a soldier did that, he might trip and fall, and that may cost him his life. The belt of truth is essential. So once they put on the belt of truth, then the next piece of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness. That's the armor that covers all of the vital organs of the body. So they put that on, whatever it's made of, it doesn't matter. Its design is to protect all of the vital organs of the body, to protect you from a fatal wound. And so they would put on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. The Bible says there's only one way to do that. That's to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're trying to fight a spiritual battle, you don't have the breastplate of righteousness on because you can't be in right standing with God. But once you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you've been made in right standing, then are we done and finished? No. If you want to remain in right standing with God, you've got to do what His Word says you need to do. If He says don't lie, you don't lie in every circumstance. There are no exceptions to that. If He says don't lust, you don't lust because there are no exceptions to that. If He says don't murder or don't think about murdering somebody, then you don't. You want to be in right standing with God. You want to protect all of the vital organs of your body. Verse 15, he says the next part is to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. No soldier would go out into battle without protecting his feet. Some of you work in a job setting where what you wear on your feet is absolutely essential. Some of you are on your feet all day long. So you've got to have something that's comfortable. If you don't wear those, you know it's going to cause you problems. Maybe not just that day, but for more days to come. Others of you have to work in a job that's hazardous where you may drop something on your feet. And if you don't wear steel-toed boots, it may cost you your foot. So you don't not take those to work. You don't wear your flip-flops because you feel like today I want my feet to be free. You wear those steel-toed boots because they're a protection to you. Just like what he says here, you need to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean to believers? That means you're ready to speak or to do the gospel in every setting. Because every single person needs to know the peace that comes with knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Every single person needs to know that. That means you're ready to go wherever God sends you. If he tells you to go left today, I'm ready to go left. He tells you to go right, I'm ready to go right. If he tells you to stay straight, I'm staying straight. Father, whatever you have in store for me today, some of you can talk to the wallpaper on a wall at a restaurant because you want to talk to people. And if there are no people around, you'll talk to the wallpaper on the wall. You'll talk to anybody about anything so you can easily talk to somebody about Jesus and what God's doing in your life. Others of us say, wait a minute, I'm okay sitting in a corner booth by myself and nobody talking and me not talking to anybody. But that doesn't mean you can't do something for the gospel. And as somebody comes to you and asks you a question, that you respond to that. That you're able to share and do the message of the gospel and you're ready to do that. Your feet are ready to go. You've got to take care of that. Verse 16, he says the next piece of the armor is to use the shield of faith. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, being assured of what we hope for and being convicted of what we don't see. In other words, you believe in God. I don't know about you, but I want a big shield. Because the Word of God here says in verse 16 that shield of faith, if I take it up, it will extinguish all of the flaming missiles, my version of the Bible says, of the evil one. So no matter what the devil sends at you, if you've got a big shield of faith, because you believe the Word of God, you take Him at His Word over and above anybody else's opinion, or including your own, then you're able to withstand anything that the devil may throw at you. The next piece of the armor, he says, is the helmet of salvation. He says that you need to cover your head. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know it provides a peace for you that you can't find anywhere else. You can't buy that kind of peace. You can't take a pill that gives you that kind of peace. You can't do anything that gives you that kind of peace. But if you know that your head is protected because you have the helmet of salvation on, there would be no good soldier that would go into battle without his helmet on. He would make sure that his head was covered so that if there was some arrow that came and it hits the helmet, then his head is protected. There's no fatal wound that comes because he was dumb enough to leave his helmet at home. We need to make sure we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the rescue that comes from salvation. He also says you should carry the sword of the Spirit. The sword in the Roman soldiers' day that is being talked about here is not some long sword where you go walking through the crowd and you just start swinging it right and left and everybody's out of your way. No, this sword is more of a defensive weapon. It's more of a short knife. But notice what he says, it's the Word of God. Again, if you don't know the Word of God, this is your only weapon that can inflict any kind of pain against someone. Notice that the devil, if he gets close to you and you use the Word of God, then that is very extremely effective. Remember Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry and the devil comes to him and tempts him? What did Jesus use to refute those temptations? Reason? His title? The fact that he was able to maneuver out of the devil's traps? No. He used the Word of God because he knew it. He just spoke it. And notice that the devil didn't keep coming at him in those areas. He moved on to something else. Because the devil can't refute the Word of God, and if you know the Word of God, then the devil's not going to mess with you trying to counterfeit it or destroy it unless you linger on it and go, well, maybe, devil, maybe you're right. Maybe Jesus, maybe God really didn't mean that. But you stand firm on the Word of God. Verse 18 to me is a part of the armor. Some people stop with verse 17, which doesn't make sense to me. Verse 18, he says that you need to be covered with all prayer and all petition. Prayer is talking to God all day long. Tell him what you think. Tell him what you're grateful for. Tell him what you're concerned about. Ask for his help. Petition means you're coming at him with urgency. God, I got a problem. I need your help. God, I'm worried about this situation or this person. I need you to intervene there. I'm asking for you. But if you never even talk to him, he doesn't know what's on your heart. He wants to hear from you. He wants that relationship. So how does all this relate? Here's what I do. In the mornings, sometimes even physically, but more just in my head, visually, I ask God to help me put on the full armor of God. Not part of the armor, the full armor. And I ask him to help me put on the belt of truth. How do I do that? I stand on the Word of God. I got to know the Word of God. I got to spend time in it, not just to preach and teach, but for my own life and my own relationship with the Father. I have to learn it. I have to memorize it. I have to apply it. I have to continue to study it for my own personal life because I want that belt of truth on. I don't want to leave that at home. Then I ask God to put on the breastplate of righteousness next. I praise God for the salvation that I found in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I pray that every single decision I make today, I need to stand on the Word of God and do what is right every single time, no excuses, so that I am protected in righteousness before God. Then I ask God to cover my head with the helmet of salvation. I ask him to, I praise him for the salvation, and I ask him to remind me of that salvation because that's the most important thing as I go out. That secures my eternity. And I want other people to know it, so I ask him to help me shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I ask him to help me be ready no matter where I go, no matter what I do and who I come in contact with, to be ready to be his messenger, whatever that looks like. If that means keeping my big mouth shut and sitting and listening, then help me to do that. If that means I need to speak or I need to go to be somewhere or with somebody, God, you show me that. But I want to have those shoes on so I'm ready. I don't want to forget those at home. Then I ask him to help me take up the shield of faith. Because I'm right-handed, I ask him to help me take it in my left hand. And God, I want a big shield. I'm a big guy. I want it to cover the whole thing. I'm also praying for my family and my church family. It needs to be big. And if I want it to extinguish all the missiles or the darts of the evil one, then I want it really big. But that depends on me. God, I take you at the truth of your word for all generations, for all of eternity, and I'm going to stand on that. Then I ask God to help me in my right hand, because I'm right-handed, take up the sword, which again is the Word of God. I got to know it or I can't use it. So when the devil comes, I can use Scripture to come against him instead of, you know what, I don't really remember. I don't want to leave my sword in its sheath, and I certainly don't want to leave it at home. Then I also ask him to cover me with an impenetrable prayer covering is the way I pray it. I ask God to hear the prayers that I'm praying for myself and others, and also to hear the prayers that people are praying for me. and that God used that as a part of my protection. But if I'm not praying and I don't have other people praying for me, then there's no protection there. Why does that matter? It matters because we want to stand firm on the truth of God's word so that when the devil comes against us, we're ready to respond spiritually rather than physically. Because it's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and principalities and powers in the heavenly places that you and I don't understand. We need to learn to fight spiritually rather than physically, and let God do what only He can do, and we take care of our part. And I was reminded by several in the military in the first service, one of the things we do if we'll stand firm together and we stand with our spouse and with our kids and their full armor on, and we stand next to the family next to us as the body of Christ, the devil doesn't have a chance. But if there are holes in our armor or there are gaps where people are running instead of standing firm in the Word of God and following His design for the family, that's where the devil loves to get in. Because he doesn't look for your strengths, he looks for your weaknesses. And so we all need to stand firm on the truth of God's Word. Let's pray together. Father, it's not complicated, but sometimes we make it difficult. I pray that you would help us to understand that you have given us a full armor to use in the struggle, in the battle that has come. Father, I pray that you would help us to follow your design, your word, in regards to the family, no matter what the rest of the world says. And Father, I pray that you'd help us in our own individual lives to stand firm on the truth of your word and take up the full armor and put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In our left hand, put the shield of faith, in our right hand, the sword of the Spirit, or if those hands are dominant, the others. Father, we pray you would cover us with an impenetrable prayer covering of the prayers we pray and also the prayers that are prayed on our behalf. Father, thank you that you have helped us and given us tools to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Help us then to stand firm. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.